Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about Elon Musk's new interview on the All In podcast. Also got updates on Tesla in China, news on US electric vehicle registrations, some updates on Twitter that I promise we will cover very quickly, and then a couple other things as well. Well, what is there to say about the market? I think we've all become numb to plus 5 or down 5% days at this point in time. Tesla today happened to be up 5.1%, closing at $761.61, while the NASDAQ was up 2.8%. US retail sales were reported this morning and largely came in at expectations, increasing 0.9% month over month. So you could look at that as a positive sign that spending is still continuing, or you could say that because spending is continuing, the Fed will be more comfortable increasing rates more quickly. It really is all just the flavor of the day, which, as you can probably tell by my flippancy so far, is just becoming a little bit tedious. Not so much what's actually happening with the economy, which is very interesting, but more so just the general volatility in the market and the exacerbation of those things by the media looking for something to talk about, which I guess you could throw me in there too. But it's really just a very, very noisy period right now. And what I've always tried to do with Tesla Daily is just find that signal. That can be a very difficult thing to do. And I hope that I'm helpful with that. Not even really sure where I'm going with this, but I guess the main point is just that I want to acknowledge, in case you're feeling this way, that I also feel that this is a very, I don't know, not really exhausting, maybe fatiguing period of time. And certainly the Twitter stuff does not help with that. So I guess just kind of a quick reminder to say that it is important to stay focused on the big picture, especially during periods like this. Don't lose that signal. And sometimes one of the best ways to do that is to, as much as you can, turn down the noise, take a hard look at the media that you're consuming, be very intentional about those choices. I know sometimes easier said than done, but I don't know, I guess just something that's kind of on my mind today. Didn't have this on my notes, but there we go. Right, getting into the Tesla news, we're going to start off with an update on Tesla in Shanghai. This is coming from an update from a Shanghai government official who at a press conference today said that the capacity utilization rate of Tesla Shanghai has exceeded 45% and the capacity utilization rate of supporting enterprises has exceeded 45% to about 50%. So this isn't anything earth-shattering, but 45% of Tesla's previous production rate would be just over 1,000 vehicles per day. And of course, we had had previous reports that Tesla was hitting about 1,200 per day. So this seems to be confirmation of that. And it looks like Tesla is still around that rate currently with this single shift. All right, next we've got a quick update on the US market. This is registration data for the first quarter that has been reported by Experian. Of course, we already know total worldwide sales for the first quarter, but this gives us a little bit more region-specific information and also context with other automakers included. So out of all electric vehicles registered in the US, Tesla held the top three spots for most registrations. Unsurprisingly, Model Y and Model 3 on top with 52,000 and 47,500 respectively, but the Model S then coming in third with registrations over 9,000 and the Model X at number 7 at just under 5,000. That was only a couple thousand short of the Ford Mustang Mach-E though, which held the fourth place slot, so if production was fully ramped up, Tesla probably would have gone 4 for 4 for top electric vehicles in the US. I also just realized that I said four times in a row right there, so if you had that on your Tesla Daily bingo card, you can cross that off. The other interesting thing that Experian noted was that Tesla's EV registrations in the US were up 59% year over year in the first quarter, which, yes, we know Tesla's worldwide deliveries were up 68%, but they can be up so much in the United States thanks to Giga Shanghai for taking over the export duties and allowing Tesla to deliver those Fremont-made vehicles in the US and Canada, and clearly demand has been more than enough to accept that allocation. So it's not too surprising to us, but it is probably under-discussed how natural and organic Tesla's growth is. A lot of times high growth is from market expansion or product lineup expansion. Tesla's certainly got some of that, but a lot of the growth is really just from people wanting more of the stuff that Tesla had last year. That's a very healthy sign for the business. All right, next we've got a quick update from Alex Potter of Piper Sandler, then we'll hop into some of the takeaways from that interview. But Piper Sandler out with a new note a little bit after market close today, and they have reduced their Tesla price target, though kept their overweight rating. The price target has declined from $1,260 now to $1,035. Piper Sandler writes, quote, "We are cutting our estimates and price target to reflect COVID-related weakness in China, as well as a higher weighted average cost of capital assumption in our discounted cash flow model. However, we still regard Tesla as a cornerstone holding in any advanced mobility portfolio, and as illustrated on pages 2 through 6, Tesla's operational prowess was on full display in Q1. Key financial metrics will probably deteriorate in Q2 due to fixed cost deleveraging. New factories in Germany and Texas will be a drag on margin, and COVID-induced downtime in Shanghai is another headwind. Tesla could trade sideways or even downward during this period, but then again, any weakness may prompt new buyers because, in our view, downside due to temporary factors will not detract from the longer-term thesis." End quote. That's kind of a great callback to where this started, signal versus noise. There's a lot of noise in these quarters. but the long-term signal is still very clear as long as that's what your attention is focused on. Anyway, we won't go through all these, but you can see here some of the changes that they have made to their estimates. They've lowered their delivery estimate for the year by 70,000 vehicles, now down to 1,470,000. They cut margin expectations a little bit due to less operating leverage from fewer deliveries and increased their weighted average cost of capital by 100 basis points. All right, moving on to the Elon Musk interview. This was about an 80-minute interview on the All In podcast for their All In Summit. If you want to watch the entire thing, I'll put the link for that down in the description, but we'll hit the highlights here. Definitely an interesting conversation. I wouldn't say there was a whole lot of new information here. The most notable thing might have just been Elon Musk's mood in this conversation. He was definitely among friends with these hosts. He was making a lot of jokes and having a good time, so it was good to see. Elon often does a lot better job of explaining himself in these conversations than he would on Twitter, I think. Even if, and probably especially so, when Elon is talking about something that maybe you don't share his viewpoint on. I think this conversation was rife with those kind of topics. There was a lot of political stuff, a lot of Twitter stuff, and we're not going to really delve into that. We'll talk a bit about the most relevant pieces, but for Tesla specifically, one of the conversations was about how Tesla is really a lot of different businesses, and Elon described that and said basically there's probably too many to list here, but he started off talking about how Tesla owns their own sales and service network, the biggest charging network, there's vertical integration in terms of production of parts that go in the vehicles, the software is developed by Tesla, obviously they have an AI team working on autonomy, real-world AI, Tesla's had to do the chip design for that, they've developed Dojo, and then it also got brought up that Tesla's doing insurance, and there are many other things like Tesla Energy that they didn't even touch on because the list had gotten too long and the conversation took a different direction. On Tesla insurance, Elon did have a pretty interesting comment. He talked about how the industry is incredibly inefficient, with, quote, like a half a dozen companies taking a cut, end quote. So that should be an exciting comment for the prospects of Tesla insurance. Elon also talked about FSD beta and said that they're currently around 100,000 users, which he has said before. But he also added that, quote, we will be expanding that to on the order of a million by the end of the year, end quote. That statement got quite a bit of attention without as much context as it should have. Elon was basically just saying something in that ballpark and could even be a few hundred thousand off, so we don't need to do any intensive analysis on that, but just for a little bit more context, Tesla is still going to add another, you know, million vehicles or so from what they've delivered so far this year to the global Tesla fleet by the end of the year, so that's a big pool to draw FSD purchasers from. Tesla's global fleet of FSD-ready vehicles then, somewhere near 3.5 million vehicles. So you would need about a 30% take rate to have a million FSD beta customers by that point in time. That might seem a little bit high, but you also have to think that, okay, if, from Elon's perspective, if Tesla actually does solve FSD, or even bridge the gap significantly from where they are today to that point, well, then the take rate is probably going to increase. A counterpoint to that would be that it looks like Tesla would be focusing on the US, so of that 3.5 million vehicles, even from Tesla's own discussion on this, are unlikely to have access to FSD beta. So I think Elon just kind of saying that number off the top of his head. I think it's pretty unlikely that Tesla actually hits that this year. A couple other Tesla-related things. Elon noted that right now Giga Texas is just under a mile long, but said that they are going to extend it and eventually it will be a full mile long. He talked a bit about their progress with that factory, said that the Model Y body shop is 60% smaller than the Model 3 body shop used to be. He gave a shout out to Sandy Monroe saying that he pistol whipped us for inefficiencies in the Model 3. And he also had some interesting comments about work ethic. He noted that work ethic at Tesla in the US is basically an outlier among the US in terms of being so high. But even so, talking averages for both here, he said that the work ethic for Tesla China is higher. Probably the last Tesla-related thing that I think was interesting, and I want to play a clip of this one, was when Elon was asked by Jason Calacanis if things have gotten easier for Elon as SpaceX and Tesla have become so big, or if that added scale has added so much complexity that it's now harder than it used to be. So Elon shared some thoughts on that and gave some insight on why sometimes he says that he doesn't actually want to be CEO.
So, like, right, you know, both SpaceX and Tesla have, you know, significant cash reserves. So, like, you know, it's not like we're staring death in the face. We can sort of see it over in the horizon, you know, so I don't want to get complacent or entitled because it, but if it's not like just sort of foaming at the mouth, gnashing, trying to eat your face off on a daily basis, that's certainly, we've moved on from that point and hopefully never return. But there are a lot of issues that need to be, it's just like if you're a CEO of a company, the chore level is high. And if you don't do your chores, then the company goes to hell. And I hate doing chores, frankly. So who does? So that's the real, like, there's a whole bunch of sort of you know, personnel issues and legal issues and things that I don't find enjoyable to work on. But if I don't work on them, the company suffers. So it's more like just the sheer volume of work is insane. That's the and then you know, go do some, go add to it with, you know, Twitter or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly,
I'm an extra processor.
Yeah. I mean, I have a habit of biting off more than I can chew and then just sitting there with like chipmunk cheeks.
So kind of interesting to hear Elon talk about that, and it gives a lot of insight, like I said, into why he doesn't actually want to be the CEO and wishes other people could handle that. Doesn't really mean he's wishing for less involvement in the company. He just wants to not have to do some of those more chore-like tasks, as he called them. Anyway, a couple other quick notes from the interview. They did talk about the economy in general. Elon noted that, of course, macroeconomics are hard to predict, but said, quote, "I think we probably are in a recession and that will probably get worse," end quote. He noted that that's usually a 12 to 18 month cycle, and also commented that a boom that goes on for too long ends up with a lot of misallocation of capital. I think it's very easy to spot some of the areas that that has happened in over the last couple of years. So some elements of a recession, although can be painful, sometimes are good for the economy longer term. And they also talked a bit about California. Elon's basic point of view there is that something has to be done to reduce regulations, which are starting to stifle the innovation that California has seen historically. He quipped that if they had tried to do Giga Texas in California, they'd still be working on permits. Last items from the interview, just the Twitter stuff, which again, we'll go through quickly. Elon was asked when the acquisition will happen. He said it really depends on a lot of factors, still waiting for a logical explanation of fake or spam accounts on Twitter. He was asked if an acquisition could happen at a different price. He said it's not out of the question. The more questions I ask, the more concerns grow. And then it becomes a question of whether or not it is actually fixable. He was then asked about the product because the New York Times article that we had talked about had disclosed some of the plans for payments and things like that. He said that WeChat is a good model, so sort of Twitter and PayPal and a bunch of other things all rolled into one. He said an app like that would be really useful in the US market. And he also noted that it would be important for content creators to have a revenue share. As for buying Twitter versus starting from scratch, he did note that his default inclination is to start things from scratch. So we'll see, obviously, a lot of uncertainty now around this deal. Twitter today did file their preliminary proxy report with the SEC, so this is setting up the shareholder vote for the acquisition, which Twitter is still recommending. There is not yet a date set out in this filing, but Twitter did say as a part of the filing that, quote, "Twitter is committed to completing the transaction on the agreed price and terms as promptly as practicable," end quote. All right, moving on from the interview then, just a couple of other quick items here. Elon did tweet out today that AI Day number 2 is set for August 19th. So that's really exciting to hear about. Elon said that they have so many cool updates, and of course that the purpose is to convince great talent to join Tesla, as usual for these events. As for that date of April 19th, that is about 2 weeks after the shareholder meeting, scheduled for August 4th. So even more to look forward to in Q3 and August in particular. Also potentially related to this, we do still have the pending Master Plan Part 3 from Elon. It'll be interesting to see if that falls either before or after or even on this date. All right, lastly, just a quick update from Argo AI. They have announced today that they have started driverless operations in both Miami and Austin, though this is still for testing purposes, so only carrying employees at this point. Anything with the public still has safety drivers. All right, that's really it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, May 18th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.